Welcome to the reorganization meeting of the North Hunterdon Voorhees Regional High School District Board of Education. It's Wednesday, January 2nd, 2019, at 7 p.m. My name is Susan Press. I'm the School Business Administrator and Board Secretary. I'm calling this meeting to order. We have complied with the Open Public Meetings Act in accordance with the requirements of the Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10-4-6. Adequate notice of the meeting has been provided by posting of notice at the North Hunterdon High School and Voorhees High School, delivery by facsimile to the Hunterdon County Democrat, Star Ledger, Municipal Clerks of Bethlehem Township, Califon Borough, Town of Clinton, Clinton Township, Franklin Township, Glen Gardner Borough, Hampton Borough, Highbridge Borough, Lebanon Borough, Lebanon Township, Tewksbury Township, and Union Township, as well as other interested parties. In compliance with the fire code, fire exits are located in the back of the building in the front. In case of a fire, you'll be signaled by bell and or public address system. If so alerted to fire, please move in a calm and orderly fashion to the nearest smoke-free exit. And at this time, please silence your cell phones. Good. We're going to have the flag salute. And the flag's over here tonight. Pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Posted with the agenda, we have the official election results. At this time, we're going to administer the oath of office to Mr. John Mielek, Rachel McLaughlin, Tara Hintz, and Lisa Dietrich, all accepting three-year terms. If you please rise and repeat the oath of office that you have in front of you. Raise your right hand, and we don't do flyers. Okay, and you just go ahead and read the oath.
I solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey, and that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and to the governments established in the United States and in this state under the authority of the people, so help me God.
Thank you. Congratulations. Dr. Alan Munley, Ms. Crisologo,
here.
Ms. Dietrich,
here.
Mr. Goger,
here.
Ms. Hintz,
here.
Mr. Kirschberger,
here.
Ms. McLaughlin,
here.
Ms. Mielek, Mr. Mielek,
sorry. Here.
Sorry about that. Ms. Richards,
here.
Mr. Roll,
here.
Mr. Strait,
yes.
And Ms. Viotto,
here.
We have a quorum. Thank you. And we're now going to conduct the election for the office of president. If I could please have the report of the nominating committee chairperson for the recommendation for the office of president.
Yep, that's me.
Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
Okay.
The nominating committee, we met a few times, and we decided to nominate Mr. Kirschberger as president and Ms. Viotto as vice president.
Oh, that makes sense. I think yes. Okay. Okay, so do we have any nominations from the floor? Okay, seeing none, I'll conduct the vote for the office of president. Do I have to?
I'll make a motion to cast a unanimous ballot for both positions.
Okay. Do we have a second?
So moved.
Well, we have a motion, we have a second.
Second.
We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Congratulations. Please bring your name.
Okay, come
on. No, you don't get a ballet, you have to do it yourself.
We get no help.
We do have your agenda coming up.
You're on the clock,
I'm on the clock.
Yeah.
All right, so where are we? So we're down to number 10.
Thank you.
Call for motion and a second to approve action items 10.1 through 10.9 in the meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion by Mr. Straight and Mr. Wrong.
Any discussion?
Is this a roll call?
No.
Do we still have to do the newspapers? Is that still, we still have to pay for that, even though we do announcements every other way?
Yes. You have to have, I think, at least one.
And how many do we do now?
We have two. We use one weekly and one daily.
Just and make sure. Charges?
Well, they only charge us when we place an ad. So it's not anything at this time. It's just when we publish our meeting notices or if we have a special meeting. And having two gives us
special
better
meeting
flexibility.
Or every board meeting?
We publish the calendar, the meeting calendar, but then if we happen to have a special meeting, we still have to publish. And then we would go to either the weekly or the daily, depending on how much time we have to get it out.
Do you have a rough idea what it costs us a year to keep one versus two?
Well, it's not. It's only about publishing, so it's a few hundred dollars for either. And then we do publish our budget. That would be another one. So
a couple hundred dollars savings, not much. I mean, do we care? I don't. I mean, I do care, but I mean, is there a reason why we still keep the savings?
Yes, we keep
bucks?
Two because we have the option of publishing either in the Star Ledger on a daily. So if we have a need for a special meeting and
but
we don't have time.
But you can still publish in the Star Ledger online, right? Versus on the...
Is there a requirement to publish in a printed newspaper?
For certain things, but the budget has to be published in a print in the newspaper, and they do put it online.
The word that's used in the statute is newspaper. It doesn't say publish online. Now, in the 21st century, is a newspaper online? Nobody's ever decided that I know of.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the few things, along with obituaries, that keeps the newspapers just... Oh. I'm serious. You laugh.
Right up there with no thanks.
So,
well, if nobody else cares, I mean, I guess we move on. I mean, I would nominate we get rid of at least one of them.
It is a convenience. When you have a special meeting and when you are bound by a certain publishing schedule, it's good to have that daily newspaper available for you.
Okay.
All right.
So we have a motion and a second?
Yep. So
do I say?
Please.
Just get
used
to it.
Try it on, Ron.
All right, Ron. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Motion passed.
Right. Motion passes.
Do I
join? Motion passed.
As much as you want.
That motion passed.
All right.
First motion.
Next is the committee interest survey. So, in front of you is a list of the committees, and you can select how many?
Three?
Select as many as you want.
Select as many as you want. I would rank them in order of your preference. So if you've got a preference, put your order. And then you could, when you're done with them, before you leave tonight, pass them up to
you.
To me.
There's a pile right there. There you go. All
right. Pass them up to somebody? Okay. So then now we move on to Ms. Liss, who's got their discussion of the School Ethics Act and Code of Ethics for our school board members.
Yes. So there is a requirement for every Board of Education to discuss the School Ethics Act annually. So there's no particular time that you have to do it, but in the past years we have traditionally done it during the reorganization meeting, because this is your shortest meeting and this is the time when you have time, and it's a structure that we've created that we might as well take advantage of the new year and do it now. And it is a time when if any of you have questions that have come up over the last year, and for new board members, if there are questions that have come to your mind as you've been reading through training materials and specifically the School Ethics Act and the Code of Ethics for school board members, now's the time that as a full board, you could discuss them, because probably if one of you has these questions, it's something that others either have already thought about or should be thinking about, because it's not all that straightforward. It's also a time that I like to take the opportunity to just tell you what decisions have been issued by the School Ethics Commission in the last year, or advisory opinions that have been issued in the last year that are that may be of interest to you. And so Susan has reproduced for you the document that I created summarizing some of the decisions of the School Ethics Commission and advisory opinions that have been issued in the last year. It's not all of them. On the last page of the document, we've also reprinted the particular provisions of the School Ethics Act that are primarily of interest. And if you go to those last two pages, you'll see the second to last is the list of items that are called prohibited conduct, which I usually summarize by saying you can't take bribes. Basically, if you thought you could take bribes, it's by being a school board member. This is what it says you can't do. The things that you can't do are primarily that you can't take anything in exchange for something that you do as a board member. Obviously, I'm oversimplifying, but the prohibited conduct is that you are supposed to have loyalty to the board, not engage in any action which might reflect a conflict of interest. If you believe you may have a conflict of interest, you should refrain from participating in the discussion or the action on that particular item. If you have any questions about what might arise in your life, either in your business or your personal life, to a conflict of interest, talk to somebody about it, and we can help you figure out what action or lack of action needs to be taken on that. On the last page is the Code of Ethics for School Board Members. Each of you has also signed a copy of that tonight and given that to Susan, right?
I have a few that I need back.
Okay. Every year, every member is supposed to sign a copy of the Code of Conduct for School, Code of Ethics for School Board Members. That is part of the statute. All of those rules are statutory requirements for board members. The difference between the Prohibited Acts section and the Code of Ethics for School Board Members is the Prohibited Acts apply to board members as well as people who are considered board officials, which are administrators and anybody in the district that's in a position to either recommend purchasing or recommend hiring. But the Code of Ethics for School Board Members is only board members, and it's not only things that are prohibited, it's also things that you are required to do as board members, and mainly it's to delineate the allocation of authority and responsibility between board members on one side and the administration on the other side, primarily to make sure that board members and the board as a whole carry out its responsibility to govern and oversee the operation of the schools, and that administrators, specifically the superintendent, are given the opportunity to do what they're supposed to do, which is administer the schools. So the board makes policy, board members act as members of that policy-making body, and the administration administers the schools. Primarily, although I'm, again, obviously oversimplifying it, that's what the Code of Ethics for School Board Members is about, and that's what you're all required to comply with. The School Ethics Commission is the state agency that considers complaints that are filed. The consequence of having someone believe that you violated either the Prohibited Acts sections or the Code of Ethics for School Board Members is that a complaint could be filed against you. And anybody, any person, may file a complaint with the School Ethics Commission. And that really is anybody, any member of the public, any employee. The only thing that is not a person is the board itself. The board itself as a whole can't file a complaint. But you're always in danger of anybody who doesn't like something that you do filing a complaint against you, and you really don't want that to happen. We've been remarkably free of those complaints. I mean, sometimes if you read those decisions that are all published, posted on the website of the School Ethics Commission, which is part of the Department of Education, it's amazing what kinds of things are alleged against board members, alleged to be violations of the School Ethics Act and the Code of Ethics for School Board Members. The interesting thing about looking at the decisions this year is that most of the complaints that were filed were dismissed, and there was no finding of violation. But the point is, not just to get a complaint dismissed, but not to get there in the first place. You don't want to have a complaint filed against you, that you have to be named as a respondent, you have to be a respondent and have someone challenging something you do. If that happens to you, and hopefully it doesn't, but if it does and it's something that arises out of some action you took as a board member, most likely the decision is going to be that you're entitled to indemnification and payment for a lawyer for your defense against that complaint. So personally, it's not going to probably not going to cost you anything. There are some situations where boards have taken the position that they will not indemnify a member of the board against a school ethics complaint and will not pay for a lawyer. If and when we have to get to that, we'll have that discussion. But it's not just that you are personally liable for a violation of the School Ethics Act. It's that it's really not good for the board to have ethics complaints filed against any members. And it really is, you know, a stressful, difficult situation to be on the wrong side of a complaint. You don't want that to happen. The other thing that the School Ethics Commission does is issue advisory opinions. If anybody believes that they are in a gray area where they're not sure whether they have a conflict in a certain situation or whether they're precluded from, lots of times it's whether they're precluded from being on the negotiating committee or listening to negotiations discussions. If someone is not sure, we can request an advisory opinion from the School Ethics Commission and they will eventually, not immediately, not quickly, but they will issue an advisory opinion about some future action that someone believes is questionable. A complaint is about something that somebody already did, that somebody thinks was a violation, and an advisory opinion is about prospective activity that someone is wondering whether they can do. Okay. So you can read these summaries at your leisure. I don't have to go through them all. I'm happy to do that. If you look at the ones that you have online that have been sent to you, it should work. It was working when I did it, that these are hyperlinks. They'll get you directly to those decisions posted on the School Ethics Commission website, so you can take a look at them. Some of these are interesting more for the facts, for you to see what board members have done or what they are alleged to have done that someone says is a violation, rather than for the rulings themselves. I don't know. I know, you know, lots of times I sit and lecture about these and nobody really wants to listen. I would suggest that you just read. And if you have questions, really, seriously, if any of you have questions about whether or not you should be participating in something or whether something that you're that somebody else on the board member is involved with, or some statement that someone has made, or whether someone should be on the negotiating committee or listening to updates about negotiations, not that there's anything coming up soon. The basic rule is don't just keep it to yourself. Talk to somebody about it. Talk to your new board president or vice president. Talk to the superintendent. Talk to me. It's always helpful to have another person's opinion on something. Because it's not all that straightforward, and that's what we're here for, is to try to answer, among other things, to try to answer those questions. So, as you go through this quickly, or if you've had an opportunity already to do that, if you have questions, let me know. Or if questions have come up over the year, really, this is the time to do that. No, probably not. I know that you just want to get out of here.
Not at all,
brother.
I'll sit here listening to you for the rest of the night.
Anybody besides
Roger
have questions?
Well, maybe your kid had this work. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you, Ben.
You're welcome.
All right. Now we move on to the public comment section of the meeting. So during this portion of the meeting, the public is invited to address the board with questions or comments. The public is requested to sign the register provided for this purpose and to state their name, address, and direct their comments to the board president. While all comments will be considered and a response will be forthcoming if and when appropriate, the board will not respond to the speakers at the time of their appearance. The public comment period will be a maximum of 30 minutes in length unless there are unusual circumstances. Those appearing will be allocated 3 minutes to speak, and no one will be permitted to speak twice until all those wishing to speak have had a turn. Does anyone from the public have a comment? Seeing none, I'll call for a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
All right, straight. And a second?
Second.
And Heather. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, that's a wrap.
Thank you.